to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
God, because when you walk with God, things happen around you. Good things happen around you. And even if bad things come your way, they'll be turned to good if you'll hang on long enough. And I want to encourage some of you. I just sense in my spirit that some of you need to hear what I'm saying right now. But I wanted to talk to you today about being giving diligence. Giving diligence. How many of you in here believe, truly believe, now don't raise your hand if you don't, that we're living in some of the very last days, that Jesus is soon on the way? Put your hands up real high. I just want to make sure that let everybody know I'm not the only one that's in here that way. Because I'm seeing the things transpired on a daily basis exactly how the Scripture talks about Jesus is going to be coming. If you want to watch the fig tree, you watch Jerusalem and you see what's going on right there. Even this week, probably while we're speaking right now, Iran is putting nuclear rods in the activators that would be possibly a bomb. Now, some say that that's not true. Some say it is. But nevertheless, there's threatening things that's happening to Jerusalem. One of the things is everybody will be pulling away from Jerusalem. And one of the things that America has just done is not supporting Jerusalem like we're supposed to. I want to encourage every one of you to stand behind Jerusalem. And you, now, you're not going to be able to go there and tell them that. But I'm going to tell you what, your prayers will reach it. I'm convinced if you will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, things will happen. And how many of you know that there really will be no peace in Jerusalem until Jesus comes? But when He comes, there will be peace. But we are required by the Scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and bless the Jewish people. We're going to have the Jews for Jesus come here, and they're going to do some stuff. And when they come, I want you to be sure to come and watch what God does. There's something special about the Jewish people that God is still using. They're still His blessed people. Amen? I get excited when I see that. But I also get excited because God is doing some things in us. You. Because we got places to go and things to do in the days that we're living in, and we need to be touching people's lives in everything that we do. One of the things we need to do is make sure of our gifts and our callings and our salvation is secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. Above all, and I got some scriptures we're going to read through, and I'm going to go through it, and I want to just really challenge you today. And I want you to know, you know, even one of the sisters came to me this morning, because I'm bad about doing this, is say something and then I apologize for it. You know, how many of you have ever heard me do that? Well, she said, don't apologize. So I'm not going to apologize. Amen. I'm going to just tell it like it is. If the Apostle Paul told it and if Peter told it like it is, maybe I need to tell it like it is. Amen? So I'm going to do that today. If it gets on your foot, on your feet, like Nick said, get your foots up here. What was it you said? Your feet? Get your feet up here. You know, it's like, get my feet to dancing, you know? But if it gets on your feet, just let it hurt. Amen? Do something about it. Medicate it with the power of the Holy Ghost. Get over it. Let's move on. We got places to go and things to do. Amen? Giving diligence in everything that we do. We need to let that be the forefront of whatever we do as Christians, is give diligence to those things. The very first thing we're going to talk about is taken out of 2 Peter, and it's Christian virtues. Christian virtues. I like this. I hated math in school. I could not stand it. I was not good at it. I am still not good at it. And I am even worse with spelling. If you ever get something from me, you're going to really laugh at a lot of it. And it may not be the content. It's going to be the way it's spelled. That's why I got ladies at work here, and they do all my correcting. Amen? I learned now that it don't matter how I spell, because they know how to read it already. They have been around me enough to figure it out. They used to come and say, Brother Kenny, you know, they were real nice. They would bring it to you and they would say, Brother Kenny, I know that your pen must have been running out of ink. You know, they were trying to help me. And they said, but what is this right here? Grace. Did somebody say grace? That's it. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 13. Y'all got your Bibles? Y'all got a Bible? Everybody got a Bible? I know we got it on the screen, but I'll tell you what, guys. You need to start marking stuff in your Bible. And you need to go during the week. That's your homework. And you ought to go back in those things that we say underline, go back and read it again. Because I don't care how smart you are in here, you're not going to contain all this stuff unless you go back. Does anybody in here can contain 100% of what comes out of here? Anybody? Do I get a hand anywhere? Nobody. So we need to underline it. We need to go back and check on it and see what it said. Okay? So let's start in verse 3. It says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That's a good one right there to underline if you want to do that. Great, exceedingly, not just a good promise, but exceedingly great and precious promises. And through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Another good thing to underline. The partakers of the divine nature. God has got things for you, and you, He wants you to be a part of that. He wants you to be a part of that, partaking of that, and let it flow in your life. This is where abundant life comes from. This is what's exciting about the things of God. If we will begin to let these things not only come on us, but overtake us in the days that we're living in. Verse 5. I'm sorry, go back to that verse. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Everybody say all diligence. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. So y'all say that. Come on. Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control. Perseverance to godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you are neither barren nor unfruitful. You know, if we take these things right here that we just talked about, if we take all those things and they begin to add in our life and multiply and do that, we will never, ever be barren or unfruitful. Everything you do will be blessed of the Lord. The Bible says, whatsoever things you put your hand to, if you're following God, will be blessed. I like that. I mean, I love to go places and somebody's having a problem and you just show up on the scene and you just stand there. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to do a thing. You just stand there. I was with some guys the other day. They could not figure out how to get this car started. They did everything that they knew to do to it. And they were telling me. And I'm sitting there saying, they're telling me stuff that I have no idea what they're talking about because I'm not familiar with this car. And I do know it's got a computer on it. And I don't have the machinery to hook to it or anything. But one thing I do know, I know God. And they need that car started. And I just walked up there and laid my hand on the fender. I didn't say one word to nobody. I just kind of prayed in tongues under my breath. And that thing started right up. And one of them said, what'd you do to it? I said, I didn't do nothing to it. But the Lord did. Just get in it and drive on. You're going to make it where you're going. Just go. There's some things that I don't understand in this world. But one thing I do understand, if I'm obedient to the Holy Ghost, He will make things work in a beautiful way. Amen? Some of you don't have a clue what electricity is. But I tell you what, you know how to go over there and flip that switch on when you need light. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You don't need to understand all the AC/DC volts and the ohms and the wattage and the volts that go through something. All you need to do is go turn the switch on and get what you need. We're living in those days. Don't try to figure out God. Don't try to figure out what to do. Just do it. And when we do that, God will step in and He will do those things because He's already told us that He wants us not to be barren, but He wants us to be fruitful in everything that we do. Amen? You know, I told a story once before, but when I was going to the Saturn place and doing a Bible store studies down there, they had a car they couldn't get the harmonic balancer nut off of. It's a big old bolt, big, big thing like that. And they had tried impacts. They had tried heating it. They called the factory to make sure the threads were left or right, whatever. And they just could not get it off no matter what they did. Every mechanic was in there. They even got some from the Chevy store, brought them over there. It's like, nobody can get this nut off. So I walked in there. They said, Brother Kendall, what do you think? So I walked up to it, and I'm sitting there, and the Lord said, put the socket on it, put the extension on it, put the pry bar over against the frame, and go in there and hit the switch. And I did exactly what it did, and it said, pow! I come outside, I took the wrench, and just ratcheted it right off. You know what? That was a word of knowledge. Now, I had some guys in there that didn't believe what I was doing when I was coming down there. They just, who is this preacher coming down here talking to these people? But when something like that happened, every time I go by there, hey, Brother Kenny, how you doing? Come on back here. Let me show you what I'm doing. It opened up a door that I could go witness to these guys. I did mechanic work for 27 years. I do know some things. But God gave me a supernatural word of wisdom, a word of knowledge how to get that bolt off of that car. And it was a witness unto Him. Amen? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? He wants us to be fruitful in everything that we do. God is good. For he who lacks these things, listen to this part now, starting in verse 9. It says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. How many of you never want to stumble? Never. You know, I don't. I don't want to stumble. I want to do what God wants me to do. I've been in this thing too long to go fall over some stupid thing that would happen in my life. And so have you. And I want to be sure that I live a fruitful life when I'm standing before the Lord and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm looking for those days. But to look for those days, I have to do what His Word says to do. I can't just haphazardly go through life and go by my feelings or what other people tell me. I have to listen to the Holy Ghost and what God says to do. Amen? Y'all with me? It's easy to do it this way, but we can get off kilter a little bit every now and then. It's kind of like plowing that field. I learned how to plow with a mule when I was young. I mean, I was only 10 years old. And we had this big old mule, and this thing was crazy. Looking back, it was demon possessed, I believe. I mean, you could just point this thing in a field, and it would go wild. But my daddy told me, he said, son, I want you to look down that long field, and I want you to find you a post back there. And I want you to line your eyes up with it. And I don't want you to take your eyes off of that. Don't look at the mule. Don't look at the plow. You look at the post and let him pull you. And you go. And I'm geeing and hawing. And this mule is going back and forth. And when I got to the other end of that field, I looked back and it looked like a snake had followed me. And it's like, this is no good. And I come back down there and he said, son, you didn't look at the post. You watched it curve, and every time you curve, you try to oversteer it, and you go back and forth, back and forth. And it's like, yep, that's exactly what I did. So I looked the next time. I didn't look at that horse's behind. I didn't look at that plow. I looked at that post. And when I went, that row that I cut that time was straight as an arrow. And every time I watched the end of that next row, and I did it. And I plowed up a whole field that day. And I'm saying this because I wasn't a good plower, but I know one thing. There's times where God says, I want you to watch and I want you to do this. Out of obedience, you watch what I'm showing you and you go that way. And we'll take off as Christians and we'll veer one way or to the other. And the first thing you know, we got us a trail that looks like that. Church, we can't afford to do that anymore. We're living in a day and age where I think God is telling us and He's going to show us some things in the future that we're going to really, really need to listen to. It's not going to just be a bless me club. I think we're living in the days where we need to know exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying. It says, for as so endurance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, and listen to what Paul said. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, and I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Amen? See, if it takes stirring up, let's get stirred up. I know a guy one time, he got up and he preached John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He got up and preached that one Sunday, and everybody just clapped and said, "Wow, what a sermon." He gave an altar call, not one person came down. He got up the next Sunday, he preached exactly the same sermon, word for word. Everybody clapped, said, "What a great service." Not one person came to the altar. He came in the third Sunday, he preached exactly the same sermon. And everybody's looking like, "Is that all he knows?" And he looked at him like, "Is that all you gonna do?" Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, church, we got all of us listen. Thank God that Pastor Terry, we got a great teacher here, Pastor Terry. But I'm going to tell you what, he can teach you, he can show you, but until you go do it, it's not going to happen. Because you're the one that's missing the blessing. And I think it's time for the church body, that means every one of us, the fingers and the toes and the kneecaps and the ears and the lips and everything begin to come together to do what God wants us to do in the days that we're living in. It's not a one-man show. It's the body of Christ. It's the church that God wants to glorify. It's the church that God wants to use in the days that we're living in. Amen? It's time to move on. One of the things, judgment is to come. I believe judgment is falling. You may believe that, you may not. That's okay, that's your prerogative, it's mine. But I'm going to tell you what, when people start doing what they're doing and things begin to happen in their community, you better take note of what's going on. Because I believe God is going to judge this world. And I believe also, let's read this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. It says, "For the time has come for the judgment to begin in the house of God." In the house of God. I think God is judging His church. You know, about 5 or 6 years ago, we had a judgment of God come through the church. And all the flaky people left. They left. Because I don't think they could stand the judgment of it. We lost pastors. There was a time where we lost almost 4,000 pastors in America in about a 2-month span. I watch it. I get letters. I get cards and stuff from people of other churches and see that. That's sad. It broke my heart to see that. But I'm going to tell you what. God is going to let judgment come on people. If they're not doing what He wants them to do, things are going to happen around them. Amen? Now you say, "Am I still going to heaven?" Yes, you're going to go to heaven. But God wants to use us, and He's going to expose things and show things to the world. How many of you know that the wheat and the tares grow up together in the church? I want to be one of those that's going to be fruitful, and that's the wheat. That's those things that's there. And that's why we have altar calls. That's why we challenge you guys to give your life to the Lord. To come as a living sacrifice and offer yourself to the Lord. To make sure that we're on the right page. Make sure we're in the fruit of everything that's happening. Amen? And it says, "And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." You know, that's a great altar call. It says, God commit their souls to Him in doing good. You know, when we commit ourselves to the Lord, things are going to happen around you. Not only good is going to come your way, but you're going to be good. Somebody's going to tell you, "You are okay. I don't understand you, but you are all right, dude. You are okay with this. I like you." People will have that. The third part is judge yourself. 1 Corinthians 11:31 to 32 says, "For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned by the world." How many of you know that sometimes God, He chastens us? He's correcting things in our lives. Sometimes you may not even be doing something wrong, but God will chasten you just to see where your trust level is. If you're really listening to Him, and if you're really being obedient to what He's saying, do. Those are good things, and we need to judge ourselves. Every time I go through a trial or a situation that I don't understand, that I have no answer for, nobody's got an answer for it, the first thing I do is sit down and say, Lord, I'm going to judge myself. I'm going to do like David did. Lord, search my heart and see if there be any wicked or evilness in me. And if it is, God, I repent of that thing. God, help me with that situation that I won't let something like that come to destroy me. But then, God, if I'm going through a trial and the devil's been running over my life, I want to know when that time stops and I'm going to stop it. Amen? I don't want to go through a trial too long. I mean, when you go through a trial, there has to come an end to it. And if we're aware of it, we'll know when the end pops up. It's like, ta-da, it's over. Now you can move on. Press on to greater things. Amen? But we have to do that by judging ourselves. Number four is cleanse yourself. Therefore, having these promises, Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How many of you want to live a clean, holy life before the Lord? You know, I do. I don't want to be one of those people that just live in a filthy attitude and filthy hatred, bitterness, don't love anybody, can't like anybody. My life was that. That's what I was before I got saved. And thank God I got delivered from that. The people that I used to literally hate, now I love them. Because God has made a transition in my life that made me like that. And He did that by me coming and saying, Lord, I need it out of my life. I need You in my life. I need to know how to love people. I need to know how to care for people. I need to know how to teach other people to get out of that rut and get where You are, that they will be blessed. And most of that starts out by cleansing ourselves and saying, Lord, just cleanse me. You know, I've gone through some counselings in my office before and had to deal with some horrendous things. I mean, you guys don't see a lot of stuff that goes on in here that we see go on back there. But I've had people come in there and had demons manifest themselves. And I would go home when I first came on staff here, and I would see things that would follow me home, literally. I'd go home, and Janice and I'd be talking, and all at once something would pop out, and it's like, this is not supposed to be in my house. This is not going to be in my house. And we're going to get it out. We're going to get it out right now. There are things that will follow you if you don't watch it. That's why it's so important to hang out with the right people. Amen? But I've had people come in there. We got plenty of time. I'm going to tell this story. When I was in that front office up there, it was basically a closet when I first came on staff. That was my first office. It was a triangle-shaped closet with a door on one side of it. Real small. Barbara remembers that. Had a desk in it, and I had to put the desk in such a way to where you had to go against the wall and go around the desk to get out to where you could go out the door. And I had this pastor from another church call me, and he said, I got a couple that I don't want to counsel them. I want you to do it. That should have let me know right there. This is going to be fun, you know. So I said, okay. So he sends them over to the place. This girl comes in there. She's 24 years old. She's got four kids, and every one of them is by a different daddy. And she's married to this guy that's 67. She's 24. He's 67. He comes in first, and he sits down, and he's just a little bitty, wiry-looking guy, and he's sitting over there in the corner, you know, and he's looking around like that. And she comes in. Boy, I mean, it was like, in charge, mama. She comes in, and she sits down there, and she says, you need to get on to him. That was her first words. It wasn't who are you, how y'all doing, isn't it a beautiful day. You need to get on to him. And it's like, well, we'll see as we work on. Would you like to sit down? And we will pray. So she sat down, and I'm praying, but I'm also keeping one eye on that door. So I prayed, and things kind of calmed down, and we got to going, and of course some things began to bubble up and show things. And by and large, he told me, he said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, this woman's crazy. And he said, she's demon-possessed, and she will hurt you. Now, I'm really looking at the door. I'm not afraid, but it's just like, if there's going to be an altercation here, I would rather bring it outside. At least I can get some breathing room. So I'm sitting there, and she says, I'm not. He says, yes, she is. I said, why would you say that? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, because we were in Alexandria the other day on that old highway. Y'all know that highway that goes to Alexandria off of 12 or whatever? It's real high. It's got big, deep ditches on both sides. It's kind of like Greenville Springs Road. If you get off the blacktop, you're in the ditch. So they're going on this road, and he said, we're coming back from Ellick to the airline highway. We're running 60 miles an hour. There's like 10 cars in front of us. It's pouring down rain, and she decides to pass. And he said, she's driving. Of course, she's that way. She starts to pass, and he says, you can't do that. It was a double yellow line. It's pouring down rain, 10 cars in front of them. She swings out and she passes and she goes by every one of them. Well, the second car in that line up there was a state policeman. And they passed and he pulls out after she went by and he chases them down. They get over there a little bit further and she finally stops the car. He comes out there. She took the policeman's gun out and threw him up on the hood of the car, threw his gun in the woods and got back in her car and drove all the way to Baton Rouge. And I'm sitting there, you know, it's like, maybe I ought to get Brother Terry in on this, you know. So it went downhill from that time on. And she said, you ain't going to help me, and it ain't nobody. And about that time, this demon manifested in her. And when it did, I come up on top of my desk and went across that desk. We're talking about my office is no wider than a desk. And when I hit the floor, I looked at her and I backed her up against the wall and I never took my eyes off her. I said, come out of there in Jesus' name or get out this building. And she dropped to her knees and I said, come out in Jesus' name. I'm sure you wasn't working with us, but Sally was. She was probably scared to death. You know? I mean, here I got these people and this thing's got them little old panel walls, you know, so they vibrate and they make a lot of noise. But I was telling it to get out of there. And she did not want it to come out. And I said, if you want it out, it will come out. But you got to want it to come out. And she said, I don't want it out. And she let out a scream. And she reached and grabbed that door. And she went out that front door. And she had a wad of keys this big around. And she threw them. Y'all check this out when you leave. From the front door of the church to Wydell Sports Center over there, she threw them into the woods, probably 150 yards. Every key that they got. And she drove off with somebody. And he looked at me and he said, this is probably not going to work for us, is it? And I said, no, sir, it's probably not. You might consider going somewhere and spending the rest of your life. I'm not for divorce, and I want you guys to know that. But when you're living with somebody like that, you're up against a wall. And only God can intervene. And by the way, they went to two other pastors that I know. And they said, you're not going to believe this story that I... And I said, really? Tell me, what did they look like? I said, well, one of them was 24 and the other one was 67. I said, you can stop right there. I can give you a word by word. I can give you a video image of everything that happened probably. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? We're living in a crazy time. We're living in a time where we need to be prayed up and caught up and hearing the voice of God. Because God has called us to deliver a lot of people. Now, you're not going to deliver all of them. I wish I could have sat here and said, you know, this thing worked out great. You know, he just turned out to be just a wonderful husband. And she was this sweet little wife that took care of her kids. It didn't turn out that way, as far as I know. But you have to go through some things to learn what God is doing in the days that we're living in. Amen? But to say all that, I go home and I hit my thumb, slam the door on my thumb. And the first thing I did was reach in my pocket and grab my keys. And it's like, what was you going to do with that? Throw it in the yard? Are you crazy? You see, because things will follow you if you don't watch it. And I went home and I told Janice, I said, come in here, Bubba. I said, we got something to pray about right now. So she said, what is it? And I said, we're going to pray. I have an evil thing that followed me home. And it's not staying here. and we cast it out, and we never had that problem again. And I'm saying that because we got to come to that place and cleanse ourselves. Let the power of God come and cleanse us. When I go and I counsel anybody nowadays, I come in here and I pray. I walk and I'll pray till I know that that thing is gone away, that I'm not going to be tormented. It's not going to my house. Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, I promise you, if you had a rattlesnake loose in your house, you're not going to go there today and just go down in there and lay your head down tonight and go to sleep. If you do, you're crazy. You're not going to do it until you do something about that snake. You're going to hunt that thing, tear out walls if necessary, turn the refrigerator upside down, tear the couch up. You're going to find that snake before you go to bed. Now, we need to understand that we're living in some evil times, and they got evil spirits that will follow you, and they're a lot more detrimental than what that rattlesnake would be. Because that rattlesnake, by the way, is scared of you. But an evil spirit is not scared of you. But if he sees the power of the living God in your life and he sees the blood, he will run. And all, you don't have to scream at it. You don't have to kick at it. You don't have to slap at it. It's just one word, Jesus. 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 And you'll see that thing go away. But we got to be aware of those things to make us come to that place and cleanse our lives, commit our lives to the Lord afresh every day. Amen? One of the things that we can do, casting our cares. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We need to know that God cares for us in our daily life, every day, that if you'll cast your cares on Him. You know, a while ago we were singing that song, I Exalt Thee, O Lord. How many of you liked that song? Wasn't that good? They did a knocked out good job with that too. But you know what? I had asked you, I said, some of you in here, you got a heavy burden. And if you'll just rest in the Lord, He'll take that burden away from you. How many of you did that happen to you? A while ago, just while you were resting in the Lord, things begin to just lift off of you. And that's to get that burden away from you, that you'll be free and set free in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number 5-6 is love the Lord. Matthew 22, every one of you know this scripture. It says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, when we come to that place and we love the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and we love our neighbor as ourself, we're in the full flow of a blessing that God's going to bless us and He's going to use us. And it glorifies Him in everything that we do. When we come to that place every day and we die to self, and we let God come in, and we're raised in the newness of life. You know, it's almost like water baptism. That's what water baptism is all about, is to come and go in that watery grave and die to self. And then we're raised in the newness of life, just like Jesus was. And we have that abundant life flowing in our life. We need to be diligent about letting that happen, because then we will be a witness. People will look and say, wow. There's something different about that person. You know, they go through the same trials and tribulations that I go, but they come out the other side victorious. They come out with a smile, and they come out with a blessing. And I'm still hung in this old horrible life. What is the deal? What's the difference? The difference is love the Lord with all your mind. Let all your thoughts be upon Him. Let your heart be set upon Him and His affections every day. And all the strength that we have. And then love our neighbor. You know, there's a big thing that's going on right now. It's a constant battle about race, about affluence. I mean, the world, the media, they use everything that they can. But you know what? That still does not take the love of God out of my life. And it does not take the love out of me to love my brothers. And I don't care what color they are or what country they're from. They're still people that God created. Amen? Then we need to come to that place and we need to love one another and care for one another. Now, I know there's some things that need to be legally done, and that's, you know, hopefully be taken care of in the future. But we got to get past all this stuff and just go on and say, you know what? I'm going to do it God's way. And God will hook me up with the right people. Amen? One thing we need to do, we need to know, God is a jealous God. I don't care what it is you do, if it's against Him. You know, Nick was talking about idols this morning, and hopefully none of you have a little stick, dumb idol stuck in your yard that you go out there and lay down on your face and worship every day. If you do, I will be here in the morning at 9 o'clock. We need to have a serious talk. But we can idolize anything. And we need to be sure we don't have those. We know we started out here about add to this and add to that, multiply this. Well, there are some things that we just need to subtract out of our lives. And I wanted to share one of the things. Can everybody see these? All over? This is a pair of scissors. I'm not going to cut my hair because I don't have any hair left. But this is a pair of scissors right here. And I want you to know something. I used this one time at a marriage seminar that I went and did. Janice and I went to Texas and did a marriage seminar. And I got this vision of a pair of scissors. And this is kind of like a man and a woman that God created. And they're hooked together right here. It's got a pivot on it. And that right there makes a perfect triangle if you go from that pivot down here to here. And that is a pivot. You know, there is a love triangle. The world has perverted it. It's a wife and a husband and a boyfriend. Or either it's a husband and a wife and a girlfriend. Those are totally wrong. Those are perverted. That's world standards. But God has got a perfect triangle for us. A triangle of love. And that is a man and a woman and Jesus Christ. Then everything ought to pivot off of Him in this part right here. And if you're here today and you're not married and you don't have that, Jesus is still your pivot. He is a husband to you or He's a wife to you. And you need to know that. But everything that happens with these scissors, it happens because it's pivoted off of Jesus Christ right there. Amen? Would y'all agree with me with that? So that makes a perfect triangle. That tells me that whatever I go through with my wife, I got somebody that I can lean on. I got somebody that will help me pivot through the situations. That will help me get past problems. That will help me to love her and help her to love me more. We've been married 48 years already. We just had an anniversary in May. But it's been a long time to live with one woman. I needed this pivot point a long time. And guess what? I still need it. I need it today more than I ever needed it. Because we need one another. Amen? But that's the pivot point that we use. And then there are things sometimes that come between us, Janice and I. Sometimes there's things that come between me and the Lord. And that's why a pair of scissors is a handy little gadget to have. Because you got two mighty forces. The Bible says if one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put what? 10,000 to flight. And it says with the Lord, I'm a majority. I'm not by myself. I'm a majority. So that tells me I got great things at my disposable, at my use right here. But the good part about these scissors, it's got two little sharp blades on it right here that I can deal with stuff. If they come my way, I can get rid of them. Hair used to get in my eyes. I could get rid of it. I haven't had a hair in my eye in 10, 15 years. I thought I had one the other day, but I looked and it was a spider web I walked through. You know, so. Are y'all going to come back? I know the pastor's not. There's things that we go through. You know, By the way, Pastor Terry, I forgot to tell you, Pastor Terry is on a cruise. I forgot to tell you all that early. Him and Jasmine's on a cruise. They've been gone, and they're going to come back next Saturday. So he's here, and if you're visiting, the reason I'm saying that, if you're visiting here, I'm just the associate. So, you know, come back. We have a real pastor that's here. And he'll probably straighten up anything I've messed here. But until he comes back, you got me. Sometimes money comes between our relationship. Mine in Janice's, mine in the Lord's. And I have to come to that place in my life and realize I'm going to get it straight. I'm going to be diligent about doing what God wants me to do. The first thing I'm going to do about my relationship with God being diligent is start tithing. Malachi says, if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. You know, if I told you, I said, y'all be quiet. There's a thief in this building. They don't have a gun, but they're robbing God. How many of you know I would be totally right? Because if you don't tithe, you don't give your tithe, you're robbing God. I didn't say that. Malachi said that. We can't do that. You'll never have the blessings of God on your life if you're not doing what God says to do. That's one of the first things to do is get that relationship right. Money in our life, we don't have that problem. We don't have NSF checks at our house. We do our bills together. We know where they're going. We don't spend money unless we communicate with one another. That keeps our family going good. But if that money comes to that place and we start serving money more than we're doing God, it's a problem. We got to do something with it. I've done plastic surgery in my office. I'm qualified to do that. Right here at Victory Harvest Church. Plastic surgery. Can you believe? Y'all didn't even know I was a doctor, did you? I've cut up lots of credit cards in my office. Plastic surgery. Because it became something that was more than God. People worshiped their cards and their power of that card more than they trusted God. And when things like that come and it begins to divide our relationship or my relationship to the Lord, I have to depend on the pivot, and that's Jesus Christ. And I have to take that and I have to do something about it. That will never be a part of my life again. Now, is that good? You better believe it. If it's not, you're not going to get home today. You're not going to get your gas. You're not going to get to pay for your home. You're not going to get to buy your food without that. But I'm going to tell you what, when we put God first, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I've been broke, I've been in debt, and I've been broke and in debt. But I've been rich before. And I don't have a lot of money, but I'm going to tell you what, I am rich in the Lord, and that's all that matters. I don't need things to make me tick. All I need is Jesus, that pivot point right there. There's other things that come our way that sometimes that we need to deal with. We need to subtract some things from our life. If we're not spending time with God, we're not doing the right thing. We need to have that fellowship with God. We need to have fellowship with you. You know, my heart longs sometimes just to come, and that's why I do what I do. And I thank God for it, because sometimes I am able to come and just maybe go work with you one day. You know, me and Mark had some of the best relationships ever built just by working on a car together or going and baling hay in a field that's hot. You know, and I still get mad at him because he blew a horn at me one day off of a tractor. You know, it's like, who has a horn on a tractor? Mark does. I'm working and sweating, trying to keep my straw hat on, and he's blowing a horn at me, grinning like a Chessy cat going through there. But it's relationship. It's time with one another. We need time with one another. You need time with your husband and your wife. You need time with the Lord. Family and friends. We need to do that. If we're not doing that, we need to do something about that. We got to take care and start putting that time in the right priority to do what we got to do. There's another part of our lives sometimes that takes over. You know, if you got a good job, thank God for it. You know, do what you got to do. But we got to get one that you like. I found a lot of people and they hate their job. They hate their boss. They come down here and pray every Sunday that their boss would just burn. You know, God just let fire from heaven down on him. It's like, don't do that. Come down here and pray for him. Maybe God will change him. I used to have an evil boss when I worked at a dealership. I had a boss just to go to show you what kind of guy he was, I wanted to get off one time to go to my son's football game. And he told me, no, you can't get off. I need you too bad. You're too valuable of a person here, and you got too much work to do. I said, I'm caught up. I don't have anything to do. I worked on commission, straight commission. So when I don't work, I sit on my table. Nobody pays me anything. And he knows that. And he said, no, you cannot go. And I said, come on, man, I'm only going to take off 2 hours this afternoon. And he said, no. Do you hear what I'm telling you? No. I said, well, what if I do it anyway? He said, pack your tools and don't come back. I loaded them in my truck. I said, goodbye. He called me the next day begging me to come back. I went back and I stayed there for a while. But you know what? It made me mad because the same day that I came back, I'm standing at the tower while they're passing out work. And one of the guys comes in that had been drunk all week. And he comes in and he pats him on the back and says, man, where you been? He said, it was my birthday and I took off. I've been drunker than Cooter Brown. And they laughed and celebrated and high-fived one another. And I looked at him and I said, and you wouldn't even let me get off to go to my son's football game. I said, where are your priorities? But I said, you know what? I'm going to stay here because I just read in the scripture where I'm supposed to submit to you, whether I like it or not. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's lessons to learn sometimes, and we need to learn them. And we may do it on the job. Some of you want to get into a ministry or you want to go do something else. Go find what you want to do, but be sure you want to do it. Because I'm going to tell you what, you're going to deal with people. Amen? And I don't care where you go, you're going to have to deal with people. But find you a job you like and do it. And if it supports you, be sure you make enough money off of the thing, by the way, to keep you going. That's very important. And don't be a workaholic. There's some people that stay at work and they don't have to be there. Go home. You got a wife, you got kids, you got stuff to do. Don't be a workaholic. Do your job and give God the praise for it and work as unto the Lord and God will bless you. Amen? Do a good job. And if you're not and your job is taking you away from your wife and your Lord, you need to do away with that. Amen? Ministry. You know, ministry can be anything. And if it takes up all your time and all your effort and you put ministry ahead of your family and ahead of anything else, I know people that put ministry ahead of God because they just take off doing something. God ain't nowhere in the thing. I know it's bad English, but he ain't in it. He didn't bless it. It's like we take off with it, and I'm one of those that can do that sometimes. I'll get an idea, and it's like, wow. Man, that's good. I think I'll do that because it'll do this and it'll do that. And I'll start taking off and I'm start writing down and starting to move in that direction. And then I get about 3/4 of the way into it and it's like, this ain't working. God, why ain't this working? And then I realize I just then ask him to help me instead of asking him first what was his will. And I find so many people, some of these pastors I was telling you about earlier, they let this right here take their lives. I got a good friend that's a pastor of a church. And his health has gone downhill ever since he's been in that church. Because he will not take care of himself. Because he's always doing something for somebody else. And sometimes he just needs to stop and let God minister to him. You guys, y'all don't let us do that. You ministered back to us. I am amazed at the things that you guys hear from God. I mean, Janice and I get cards and letters and prophetical things, some gift cards to bless us. You know, people, I just went and had some tests made and they say I got too many red cells in my blood and my hemoglobin is up and I'm going to have to go give blood just to get some out of my body. I never thought I'd made too much blood as much as I bled my life. I mean, used to every time I turned around, I was leaking. Bleeding somewhere. Now I got to go get some out. But he told me, he said, the biggest reason because of that is you're dehydrated. You need to drink more water and fluid. And I got calls yesterday. What you drinking? Water. Okay, just call and make sure. And a couple hours later, somebody else called. What you doing? I'm out here working. You drinking anything? I was like, yes, thank you. You know, we need one another. Y'all, that may be funny to y'all, but that's serious. Because I get my mind on something, and I'm going to go do that. And I forget about it. What'd you say? And I get my mind on something, and I'll just forget about drinking water. We need one another. A simple thing. But if ministry comes between me and Janice, and if it becomes between me and God, I got to do something about it. Amen? Sometimes the church can come between people. I know people that had to split. They left. They're going to serve God. And they were in a church, and their wife or their husband didn't like it, and they ended up getting a divorce because of that. That's really kind of sad, but I'm going to tell you what. Jesus says, if you've left father and mother, brothers and sisters, and all for my sake, you've done good. And I know people that have done that and still living good, godly lives. But every now and then, the church gets in the place, in the way. It feels something that's there that God is not even in sometimes. People just get in that mode of going to church. I'm amazed why some people go to church. It's a place to come to meet new people, to start new businesses. The motives of the heart. God's going to choose. You remember that scripture we just read a while ago about judgment begins in the house of God? I've had people come to my office and they would ask me all about our church. What goes on here? What goes on there? Who's in the church? Who's affluent in your church? Who are the young people? Who are the older people? And I'm sitting there looking at them and it's like, you got the wrong motive, baby. If you're going to sell something, you need to go somewhere else. You're not going to do it here. But that part can come between us. It can come between between God. We got to do something about it. You know, I'm not going to say a whole lot about this right here. I know I'm already standing on a banana peel on the edge of hell here. Say what?
With scissors.
With scissors, yeah, very dangerous. Hours of watching TV, you know. I don't want to bring, we're not talking about clothesline religion here, but I'm going to tell you what. If you spend more hours watching TV than you do with your wife and your children and with God, you might ought to bring that sucker outside and shoot a hole in it. Be careful. It'll blow up. Be careful. You know, if you're sitting there watching soap operas and putting stuff in your mind off of this TV and doing things like that. I heard one time a lady came to a prayer meeting and she said, oh, we need to pray for so-and-so. And they said, who is that? They said, well, she's on TV every day. They said, who? It was a soap opera. And the sad part about it, this woman was so engrossed in it, she thought it was real. It's a soap opera, y'all. You don't realize, me and Bobby, where's Bobby? He's watching the kids today. He was telling me one time, just a while ago, that he went to the show, to the movies, him and his brother. They used to come to Kentwood to go to the same movie house that I did. Didn't know him. But he said, we went there one time and we watched a movie and they were making weapons out of cane poles and doing stuff. And he said, me and my brother went home and we started doing that. He said, we did exactly like that. Because when you're little, you see things and it challenges you and you want to get involved in it. But some people never grow up. They continue to want to do that. I said, yeah, I watched one time called Thunder Road with a 49 Mercury with Robert Mitchum in it. And I went home, built me a 49 Mercury. I said, it's addicting. It gets in your spirit. We have to watch what we watch. Amen? Reality shows. I want to tell you something right there. They're not real. It's not a real show. If you watch one, you can watch it from cooking to climbing mountains to building cars to do anything else. They have the same mode of operation through every one of them. You can almost sit there and watch. They're running out of time. They don't have enough time to get this. They're going to have to order this. And it's not going to come in on time. And it's a reality show. We need to wake up to real things. Amen? I had a couple. This is another thing I did. Before I ever came on staff, when we lived in Shamrock Gardens, this couple lived around the corner. And they came over and they said, what are you doing? I said, well, I was talking to some friends. We had a Bible study and yip-yap, you know, just talking. They said, we need counseling. And I said, well, we'll go down there to Victory if you want to go. I can call them and get you set up so you can go. And they said, no, we want you to do it. I said, okay. So they came over a couple of afternoons. They sat on my couch. Me and Janice sat there and we talked to them just going through it. Well, the whole bottom line was they wasn't spending enough time. She watched TV at least 6 to 8 hours of TV every day. Every day. Well, he had a pet coon. So when he come home in the afternoons, he took his coon and he played with his coon for 4 hours. He walked his coon. He groomed his coon. Whatever you do with a coon, that's what he had. And it's like, this is a no-brainer. I said, the first thing y'all need to do is take the TV out of your house. Go lock it in a closet somewhere. Quit watching it. You need to get rid of the coon. I know a guy that likes them. He will eat that sucker if you give him to him. And make a really nice hat with it, you know. And I said, you need to get rid of this coon. Do you understand this is ruining your marriage? And he said, no, it's not. And she looked at me. She says, and you can't tell me put my TV in my closet. I said, I tell y'all what, you're headed for disaster. Well, 2 weeks later, she got on the... I'll get there in a minute. She got on something else. And she found somebody else that did not have a coon. And she left the country, literally to Puerto Rico, with another man. Because she did not want to get rid of her TV. And he was not getting rid of his coon. Well, the day after he moved, or she moved out of that house, I saw him walking one day by himself. Mr. Coon was not with him. And I said, where's your coon at? He said, would you believe that sucker died? If it comes between us and God and one another, we need to do something with it. Amen? Can y'all see that one? Internet, this is one of the greatest things that's ever happened to the technology of this world. But it's also one of the worst. And it's all a matter in what we do and how we do it. I have a fireplace sitting at my house right now on a vacant lot that we sometimes go out there and build a fire in the wintertime. Real nice fireplace. A guy bought the thing, put it in his house. He was throwing it away. I come by his house one day. I said, what you doing with that fireplace? I'm throwing it away. I said, what's wrong with it? Not a thing. I said, why are you throwing it away? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, I bought that for my wife, and I put it on that window right there. And he said, I built one fire in it, and she got on the internet on a chat room with somebody and left me. Took everything and left but that fireplace right there. I said, really? I said, well, if you're going to throw it away, you might not come get it. He said, you come get it. He said, I'll tell you what, you don't have to come get it. He said, you just come down here and help me load it in my truck and I will give it to you. So I said, well, okay. I said, well, let me ask you this. Why are you taking it out? He said, I'll tell you why I took it out. Because I got remarried. And that woman I married said, I want that fireplace out of this house. And he said, that's why you're getting it. Chat room. She was just talking to somebody, making friends. You know, it's okay. I never see them. I never will see them. They're probably good folks. I mean, they got a good spill on this chat room. Probably a mass murder. It's, God only knows what you get, you know. I learned a long time ago, don't buy nothing unless you see it, you know. Don't buy no car unless you drive. You go get in it and drive it. Don't buy it in the rain. Don't buy it in the dark. Get it in a broad open sunlight. You know, if we get everything, I'd preach, amen. If everything we do, we put it in the light of the sun, we will look at some things we never saw before. And I'm not going to throw these at anybody. They hooked on real good. Sometimes games take up people's times. One of the biggest concerns right now, men used to be hooked on porn. But you know, they have almost 40% women that's on computers sometimes that's hooked on the same kind of porn. That's sad. God help us. You know, we'll all stand before God one day and we'll be judged for what we do and don't do. And I'm going to tell you what, I watch my computer. I got Barbara and I got Sally. I'll tell them something. Just come on here. Y'all get in here right now. Let's get this thing off of here. I don't want nothing on my computer. All I do is send emails. And every now and then I have a meeting to go to and they send me something. But don't watch stuff like that. Don't let the internet bring filth into your, not only your home, but into your mind, into your very soul. Sometimes people do too much shopping on there. And whatever MySpace is, I don't know what that is. Thank God I'm ignorant to a lot of things. MySpace is where I'm going. That's all I know. Don't get in my way. If you do, then help me. If you can't, then I'm going to help you. But that's all it is. But don't let the internet come between you. And by the way, internet is in her net. Or in the net. Don't let it come between you and God or your spouse. I'm going to keep these short right here. These, you know, thank God we don't have a ball game this afternoon. No worries. But if we did, and it come between you and your wife, do something with it. We'll just rush right through some of these here. Sometimes friends come between you and God, you and your spouse. Find friends that will help you. Find friends that will be a friend. And by the way, don't let your friends lead you. You lead your friends. There's too many people that stepped off into people because they've heard of them. And they got this name and they're the ones to be associated with. And people will go and try to be a friend with that person. Be careful. Be careful who you hang with. Because whoever, birds of a feather, what? Flock together. I want to be around people that's going somewhere with God. I want to be somebody that's going to lead other people to God. And not let them lead me in the ways that they go. I've been where they've been already. I don't like it down there. I want to get people out of that pit and get them into heaven. Amen? We ought to come to that place and realize that. Lead them to the Lord. You be the one to do that. If God has let you run across paths with people before, there's a reason for that. And it's not for you to take on their lifestyle. It's for you to show them a better way of living. Amen? If it comes between you, do something about it. Sometimes families begin to be a problem. Just plain families. You know, the Bible says that when couples are married, they're to what? Leave and cleave. There's a lot of parents that never let their children go. You know, you start cutting that cord when they're born. You cut that cord. That's the first cutting of the cord. Then they come a little bit further. We just had school open last week. And it's so funny because my office is right there and I look straight down to the door. And I love to watch it because the kids are going and they're so excited about going to school for the first time. And all the moms are sitting out in the parking lot in a prayer meeting crying. It's like, and they're not praying that God would bless their children. They're praying because they miss their baby. I had to put them in school today. Wah! You know? And that's normal. We did. Janice did that with our kids. You know? I didn't. I was trying to make a living for them. But there comes a time to where you got to cut things off in the family. Let them grow up. Are they going to mess up? Yes. Pray for them that they'll get it right. It may take a while to do that. But you as a family, you need to let one another alone. Y'all know, most of you know the story of my life. That my folks, you know, I left home very early. And then I finally went back a little bit. And then my family did not speak to me for over 12 years. Because I tried to help one of them overcome some situations in his life. And my family just totally abandoned me and my children. For 12 years, not one word they spoke. I would send cards. I would call. They wouldn't answer the phone. My brothers, my sisters, and my mom and dad. Nothing would go on there. But you know what? I said, Lord, they're my family. And they may not respond to me, but God, I'm going to respond to you about them. And I prayed for them, and I believed God, and I saw God do some great things in their lives. But there was times where I was not supposed to be the one to intercede in that. I was to intercede with God for them. And there's times that you're going to have to do the same thing with some of your family. Your kids are going to grow up, and they might be great right now, but they're going to be people. How many of you know that people make mistakes, and they do things? And that's why we need to pray for them when you don't see them. When they refuse to talk to you, you still pray for them. And ask God to bless them. But what comes a time to where we have to let them go. We have to let our children go and let it be, because they have a life to live. And children, when you're home, you need to obey your parents. Listen to them. They will teach you. They will show you what to do and how to do a lot of things in your life. The Bible requires us to obey our parents. That's in the family. If it's a problem, we need to deal with it. Take care of that. And I'm going to stop right there. I got one right here. I could really make most of you pretty mad. I'm not going there. But I want you to know, I want to share with you one thing, out of all seriousness. We need to be diligent about doing what God wants us to do. You know, we can have a good time, we can cut cords, and we can laugh. But there's a seriousness that's coming on the face of the earth. And all these things that we're doing right here is all to equip you. To equip you, to show you what to do and how to do it. Because I'm going to tell you what, one of the most exciting things that's going to be happening, not only is the Lord coming, the Bible talks about, you know, there's a great falling away of the saints that's going to come. That means that some of the people that's sitting by you are not going to be with you or around here. Because they're going to turn back to the things of the world. Because the pressure is going to come. But on the flip side of that, it says that one of the greatest revivals that has ever happened on the face of the earth is coming. And we're going to see people get saved by the millions. And I'm not talking about hundreds. I'm talking about millions of people. And you know who's going to disciple those people when they come in? You are. You are. That's why everything that we try to teach from this pulpit is to equip you. That's why I want you to underline things or take notes or do something. Get the CD, but get it and get it in your mind, because you are going to be the ones to take care of this great end time harvest. And it's going to take every one of us to do our part and to say, God, I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be some of those that's going to go apostasy and run away from you. But God, I want to be one of those that will stand in the fray. And I'm going to say, I'm going to do it God's way. And I'm going to do a very good job of it. Amen? Well, Nick, why don't y'all come and just play? I don't know how to do this other than just say, if any of this stuff here, if any of this has touched you, the scripture, the cards, or whatever, why don't y'all go ahead and stand if you would. If any of it's touched you and you want that out of your life. But also, if you want to come down here and say, Lord, I want you to add to my life virtue. God, I want you to add to my life godliness. God, I want you to add to my life whatever it is that I need. I want you to come. I want you to just get up and come right now. Don't wait. Just ease down here. We're going to pray and we're going to agree with you. And I want to see God do some great things in our lives. If you want to be a part of that end time revival that's going, and you never really even thought much about it, and you want to be a part of it, right now is a great time to say, you know what? I want that. I want that. That's the first thing I've heard of, but I want to be a part of one of those that may sit in a classroom and teach people that know nothing about Scripture, that know nothing about how to serve God. I want you to come. Come on down here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thou, Lord. O Lord,
thank you, Lord.
Our God,
thank you, Jesus.
Above all the earth, Thou art exalted far above, O the earth.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is coming. He's coming back for the church. He's coming back because He loves us. He's promised us that He would come back. You know, and I'm so blessed when I watch people come and they say, God, I want all You got. I want those things added to my life. I want those things multiplied in my life. And Lord, I'm willing to take those scissors that pivot off of You, and I'm willing to cut those things out, maybe for a short time. Because you see, when we do that, then we're prioritizing things in our life. And that's when the Scripture comes true about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, I took a pair of scissors and just cut a piece of paper. But you're going to have to cut some of those things out of your life. But when you put them in priority and you seek the Lord first, He's going to give you back a lot of these things. But it's going to come back with a blessing. And it's going to come back with a priority. Because everything that we cut up here today was good stuff. It's good. It was created for us to use, but not for it to use us. And when we come to that place in our life and we know that, God's going to bless you. I want us to just lift our hands and I want us just to receive today from the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come today, Lord, and we thank You for Your Word that's challenged us, Lord. That's brought us to a place, Lord God, of decision. And Lord, I want to see this church. I want to see these things added to this church, Lord God. I want to see it multiplied, Lord. I want to see the people prosper in this church, Lord. And Lord, above all, I want us to come and to seek You, Lord, in everything that we do, Lord God, in this church, in our families, in our friends. Lord, that we will prioritize these things, Lord. And Lord, we know that there will be a time that You'll give it back to us, but it will come with a blessing on it. And Lord, we want to be those that possess it and not let it possess us. And Lord, we pray this week, Lord, for the church as we go. Lord, that we will hear Your voice, that we would see where You want us to go, what You'd have us to do. And Lord, we thank You for Your love and care. Lord, even the testimony we heard this morning from David, Lord, how You were so concerned about him having to spend a night in that home by himself in that heat, Lord God, that You sent two people, Lord, to come and to fix that air conditioning. Lord, we give You glory and honor for that. You love us, Lord, and You care for us. Lord, we ask that You bless this church, Lord God, this week. Let us go and let us be prosperous, Lord, in everything that we put our hands to. Lord, let us count our callings and our giftings and do those things that You say do, Lord. Lord, we thank You and we love You today. And we give You all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you give some folks a good hug, and we'll see you Wednesday. And thank you for coming.
Rescued me, sing it out, Jesus is alive. If You cross the empty grave, life eternal, You have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive.